If you've got a copy of God's Word, I invite you to turn with us. Once again, the Old Testament, Psalm number 119. We're going to begin reading this morning in verse number 129 of this Psalm. Very center of your Bible, Psalm number 119. And we've come to, I believe, it's the 17th letter of this Hebrew alphabet, 22 in all. And I've been preaching on this thought, letters for living. I'm glad that we have some letters that we can live by. Found all the way through Genesis, all the way through the book of Revelation. There's words of inspiration and instruction, commandments, statutes, and precepts in which God has allowed us to hold in our hand this morning. I want to preach to you this morning on this thought, trusted traits. Trusted traits. And I'm talking about characteristics of those that have trusted in Jesus. Those that have acknowledged Him as Savior and Lord. Those that have been born from above and gloriously saved. Trusted traits. If you found your place, let's stand this morning in honor and reverence for the reading of the Word of God. I believe it's perfect, precious, and pure. I believe it's inspired, infallible, the inerrant Word of God. Trusted traits. The Bible says in verse 129, Psalm 119, the Bible says, "Thy testimonies are wonderful. Therefore doth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments. Look thou upon me, and be merciful unto me, as thou used to do unto those that love thy name. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Deliver me from the oppression of man, so will I keep thy precepts. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant, and teach me thy statutes. Rivers of waters run down mine eyes, because they keep not thy law." And you may be seated this morning. We've come here to this letter, P, in the Hebrew alphabet. And we find here that as it's been addressed in many other sections of the Psalter here in 119, and of course throughout the entire Word of God, that there are certain things that God's people ought to obtain. There are certain things that God's people ought to adhere to. There are certain things that ought to be our makeup, if you would. You know, whenever a person or two people come together and they have children, they pass on certain traits. They pass on certain characteristics. Now, we know that some of those are things that we are proud of. There are some people here that are glad that they look like their daddy. They're glad that they look like their mother. They're glad that they have a certain name. They're thankful for their heritage. There's many things that I'm thankful for, but I believe there's also some things that we could have done without. Amen. There are some things that we wish that we did not have, or we did not possess, or that we did not act out from time to time. Certain characteristics or certain traits. But I'll tell you what, I believe whenever somebody is born into the family of God, that God desires not to place inside of them anything that would bring harm to His precious name, not anything that would bring ridicule upon the people or the family of God, but that I believe God's desire is that there'd be some things within us, there'd be some characteristics, there'd be some traits within us that would bring glory and honor and praise to His name. I believe that what God speaks to us here through these verses, I believe there's three specific traits that I want to deal with this morning. And if you'll look with me in verse number 129 and 30 and 31, we'll see the first one. The first one, I believe, is the adoration or the admiration of Scripture. I believe that whenever somebody has trusted in Jesus, I believe whenever somebody has embraced Christ as their Savior, hey, they've looked upon Him by faith. They've accepted God's grace. They have placed their trust. They've placed their belief. They've placed all of their ability, intellectually, emotionally, physically, spiritually. They have placed that upon the finished work of Jesus Christ. I believe that within each believer there should be a longing for the Word of God. I believe if somebody does not have a longing for the Word of God in their life, they ought to question their salvation. If somebody does not have a want to get into the Word of God, I believe they ought to question their salvation. You say, "You're being awful bold, preacher, by saying that." I believe that's what the Bible says here in the Scriptures. The Bible says in 129, He says, "Thy testimonies are wonderful." That's the witness of the Word of God. And that is a word that is not used very much in the day and time in which we live in. That word wonderful. That word wonderful speaks of something that is extraordinary. I believe the day and time in which we live in is a great time in which to live. Hey, in the last 100 years, last 120, 150 years, we've saw more intellectually advanced people than has ever been present on the face of the earth. Hey, there's so many things that have changed over the last 100 years, going from a horse and buggy onto an automobile, going from the ability just to row a boat to see a boat motorized and propelled across the water, to be able to see people not only fly an airplane through the sky, but to enable us to see ourselves going into the outer space and beyond. And I believe that we have come to a point in time that we have just become accustomed with some things that in days gone by would have been considered to have been extraordinary. Hey, you buy a computer today, it's out of date tomorrow. Hey, you buy some type of TV today, they got a better one tomorrow. I believe our children are growing up in a day and time in which they didn't know that you didn't always have running water. They don't know that people did not have the opportunity to go to a grocery store and buy whatever they needed at whatever time they wanted to and any time during the day. Hey, they're not accustomed to doing without those things. And I believe that the society in which we live in today is not accustomed to things that ought to be extraordinary. But my friend, I want to tell you today that when we read the Word of God, we ought to consider something that is extraordinary. Hey, the Word of God should be wonderful unto us. Hey, we ought to marvel at it and all that it possesses and all that it holds and all that it values today. My friend, we need to consider the Word of God as being something that ought to be precious unto us. Hey, some people consider that word wonderful not only to mean marvelous, not only to mean extraordinary, but to some it means hard to understand. And sometimes it's awful difficult to understand. That's why we have to go upon faith. Amen? Hey, I can't understand why God would want to come down and have an intimate relationship with someone like me. But by faith, I believe and trust that what the Bible says is true. That God loves sinners. Amen? And that He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus, to come and to die on a roll-rigged cross on Calvary's hill, Golgotha, that place of the skull, to die there and to humble Himself, that He would be the sacrifice, that He would be the one that would take upon Himself all the guilt and all the shame and all the ridicule, that He would be the Lamb of God that would take upon Himself the sin of the world, that by placing our faith and our trust in Him and His death and His burial and His resurrection, hey, that we could be made a child of the Most High God. That ought to be marvelous to us this morning. That ought to be extraordinary as God's Word witnesses unto you and I. So we find here the Bible says, "Thy testimonies are wonderful. Therefore doth my soul keep them." My friend, there ought to be an adoration for the Word of God. They ought to be a want to get in the Word of God. Hey, I'll tell you what, you will never be what God intended you to be unless you take time out of your day. You say, "Preacher, I'm too busy. Preacher, I've got too much going on. Preacher, I don't have time to read." Hey, do you realize, preacher, I have to get up every day and I have to go to work. Big whoop, so do I. Amen. Hey, you have to take time to put God first in your day. Have to take time to spend time with Him. Hey, the Bible tells us here that the psalmist said, "Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them." Hey, thy soul, thyself, thy life ought to have a longing to keep the Word of God. Hey, you ought to have a desire to watch the Word of God. Ought to have a desire to guard the Word of God with fidelity. Hey, there ought to be a love so overwhelming running through the depths of your soul and running through your life that you long to guard the Word of God. Hey, you don't want to see anybody else ridicule it. Don't want to see anybody else put it down. Don't want to see anybody else have anything to say bad about the Word of God. Hey, this is the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It ought to be something that you look at as being special unto your heart and unto your home. Hey, it's what's going to help you through the course of life. And we find here the Bible says in verse number 129, the psalmist said, "Therefore doth my soul keep them." It watches it, it guards it, it preserves it, it observes the precious Word of God. And then look what he says in verse 130. He says, the entrance of thy words giveth light. That entrance of the Word of God. Hey, the words, not only the speech or the saying, but the explicit utterance from a holy God unto fallen man. God desires to shed light upon your life. He says, through the entrance of thy words. That word entrance speaks of an opening. It speaks of an unfolding. It speaks of a doorway. Hey, you think about the children of Israel as they traveled across the wilderness, as they traveled through desert regions. Hey, they did not have a fine home. Hey, they had two windows and two doors. No, hey, they traveled and they erected themselves a tent and they set that tent up, and that tent had one door. And if the door was closed, it was dark inside the tent. If the door was closed, there was no illumination. But my friend, wherever they'd open up that flap on that tent, what they were doing, it was that they were allowing the light to come in, that the light might illuminate the inside, and that the inside might be able to receive benefit from what was on the outside. My friend, there's no way that you can receive a benefit from a holy God that He can help you to make the proper decisions that are essential for you to live a godly life unless you are in the Word of God. Hey, the Bible tells us here, He says, it giveth the entrance of thy words giveth light. That giveth light means to illuminate. It means to light up. It means to cause to shine. Hey, you feel dirty on the inside this morning. You feel like there's no hope on the inside this morning. Hey, you're all down and out this morning. Let me ask you, did you get in the Word of God? Have you allowed the Word of God to illuminate your darkness? Have you allowed the Word of God to come in and to minister under your doubt? Have you allowed the Word of God to come in and to help you to make the decisions of your life? Hey, I'll tell you what the Bible says there, that it giveth light. It also says in verse 130, it says it giveth understanding unto the simple. Understanding unto the simple. Now, that word simple describes somebody that might be naive. Hey, there's some people that just don't know much because they're naive. They've never been exposed. They've never allowed themselves to be in the presence of certain things or under the sound of certain things. They have no knowledge, have no idea. They're naive. It also speaks of one that's simple as one that is foolish. Hey, some people just don't make wise decisions because they just don't have the opportunity. They've never been presented unto something. But I'll tell you what simple also means. Open-minded. I'll tell you what, if you will open your heart, if you'll open your mind today and say, God, it's my desire that You'd give me direction for living. I'll tell you what, if you'll get in the Word of God, you can find out what God's perfect, precious will is for your life. I've shared this before and I want to share it again. Hey, God can give you understanding in all things. Hey, there's some things in the Word of God that are just black and white. Hey, within the Word of God, we have the general will of God for our lives. Hey, I'll tell you what, we can open up this Bible and God will give us the general will for our life if we'll allow Him to realize. If we will realize today what God's general will is. Hey, do you know what? The Bible tells us that God's will that not any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. My friend, it's God's will that people get saved. It's God's will that people get born again and birthed into the family of God. And after they're born again and birthed into the family of God, hey, it's God's will that you read His Word. It's God's will that you spend time in prayer. It's God's will that you come and assemble yourselves in the house of God. What do you mean, preacher? Hey, if you're saved, it's the general will of God that you go to church. And I don't believe just once a year or every time that you feel a need to or the nudge to. I believe you ought to be faithful unto the house of God. Every time the door's open, every time opportunity allows itself for you to be there, you ought to be in the house of God. I believe that's the general will of God. Brother Andy already stole some of my thunder. He got on tithing this morning in Sunday school. Praise God. I believe it's the general will of God that you contribute financially unto the welfare of this church. I believe it's the general will of God that you give unto those that are on the mission field, that you give unto those that are evangelists, that you give unto those that have given of themselves for the service and the work of the kingdom of God. Hey, that's God's general will. God's general will is that you not run around the crowd you used to run around with, but that you would be a separated people, associating, longing to be around other Christian individuals, that you might be a part of something great in the kingdom of God. Those are just a few things of the general will of God. Hey, it giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. And I'll tell you what, there's some specific things that God wants to reveal unto each and every one of us. Hey, there's decisions in life that each and every one of us face. Hey, there's decisions in life for our young people. What am I to go to school? Am I to go to college after high school? Where am I to go? What type of career change should I make? What type of decision do I need to make? Do I take this job? Do I take that job? Which direction should I go with my life? Hey, one of the greatest decisions you'll ever make in life is to whom to marry and to who to spend your life with. Hey, I'll tell you what. Hey, you're not just some people just say, well, I'm just going to open up the Bible. I'm just going to close my eyes. I'm just going to thumb through it. And wherever it opens up and wherever it falls, I'm just going to open it up. And whatever it says, that's going to be the specific will for God in my life. I'll tell you what, God don't work that way. Hey, somebody might open up the Bible and they say, I'm going to marry a woman. And they open it up and they find Jezebel there. And they say, I'm going to spend all my life looking for a woman named Jezebel. And my friend, if you ain't careful, that's exactly what you might get. I'll tell you what, that's not the will of God. Hey, the will of God is that you be in His Word, that you discern His Word, hey, that you associate with your fellow brothers and sisters, that you seek good Christian counsel, and you pray, God, I pray that if it's Your will, that You'll open up a door of opportunity, that You'll grant me a door of understanding, hey, that You'll help me to make a wise decision in my life, and God will allow you to do that if you will seek His face. But I'll tell you what, you'll never, I heard a man say this, God will never reveal the specific will for your life if you're not willing to live and acknowledge the general will of God for your life. Hey, if you're not in church, if you're not praying, if you're not under preaching, if you're not giving, if you're not taking part, He will never allow you to understand what the specific will is for your life in those delicate decisions if you're not willing to adhere to the general will of God for your life. I'll tell you what, we need to have an adoration of the Scripture, amen? Hey, there needs to be an admiration of the Word of God in our life. Look what the psalmist said in 131. He said, I opened my mouth and panted. I long for Thy commandments. Hey, he has a hunger for the Word of God. To open means to gape. I'll tell you what, somebody, it's just, I can't help but think about, I don't know if anybody ever watches Newhart. But you remember Daryl and Larry, my brother Daryl, my other brother Daryl, and you know they're always standing around with this dumb long look on their face, like Gomer Pyle sometimes had that same look. Amen. I'll tell you what, we ought to stand in awe of the Word of God just like that. And it ought to be a longing in our heart and a longing in our life that we would ever be encouraged by the Word of God, that we would long for the will of God to take place in our life. Hey, we ought to have a longing that God would minister unto us. He said, I opened my mouth and panted. That word pant there means to gasp with desire, to be eager for. My friend, just as somebody is longing for a drink of water when they're long out on a long-haul run and they're striving to get somewhere and they're tired and they're weary. My friend, they're panting for the water brook. My friend, you and I ought to be longing for the water of the Word of God to take precedence in our life. There ought to be an affection and admiration of the Scripture. Hey, I believe that's a trusted trait that ought to be evident in our life. He says, for I long for Thy commandments. The code of wisdom of the Most High God, He says, I longed for it. I looked for it. I desired for the Word of God. So we see the adoration of Scripture. I believe there also should be the anticipation of security in our life. I believe that we ought to have faith. I'm talking about strong faith. Jesus said if we just have faith of a mustard seed, hey, we can move a mountain. My friend, but there's so many people, there's so many Baptists that do not have the faith that God longs for us to have. However, I believe a trusted trait should be an adoration of Scripture. It also ought to be the anticipation of security. What are you talking about? I'm talking about God's safekeeping. I'm talking about God is on our side and who cares who's against us. If God be for us, no, who can be against us? My friend, we've got to have faith that God is going to keep us through this thing called life. And the Bible tells us here in verse number 132, He says, look thou upon me and be merciful unto me. To look means to turn toward. It means to look at or to look after or look for. Boy, I'm glad God's turned my way, ain't you? I'm glad God's looking after me. Hey, I'm glad that God is so desirous to have intimate fellowship with you and I that He's going to keep His eye upon us. And I'll tell you what, when we're at the house and one of them youngins gets to missing or it gets real quiet, all of a sudden, what do? We get up and we go and we search out and we look for our children. Now, that's exactly what God does with you and I. Whenever He hears that, doesn't hear from us for a while. Hey, whenever He knows that we might be wandering astray, hey, He goes and looks for us. Hey, He's watching out over us. Hey, His desire is to keep His eye upon you and I. And that's what the psalmist says. He says there as he pleads, he says, look thou upon me and be merciful unto me. That's what we need to plead for today, is we need to plead for God's mercy. God's merciful action means to show favor unto us. It means to be gracious unto you and I. It means God casting pity upon those that don't deserve anything. My friend, I don't deserve nothing. But I'm thankful that God has shown mercy unto me. Therefore, because of that mercy, because of that kindness, because of that graciousness, because of what He's done for us, my friend, we ought to place our faith even more stronger in Him. The Bible tells us here in verse 131, He says, or 132, He says, look thou upon me and be merciful unto me as thou used to do unto those that love thy name. As thou used to do. That used means to as a custom or a manner. My friend, God looks out for those that love Him. God looks out for those that have an affection unto Him. God will minister unto those that have a hunger and a thirst for Him. To love, there as it's described, is a human looking unto a holy God as a human that looks unto Him and allows Him to take precedence in their life. Hey, He's their everything. He's all that they long for. Now, I'll tell you what, it's great to have relations with our brothers and our sisters. It's great to have relations with our children. It's great to have relations with our spouses. But my friend, now it'll be a love for a holy God that delivered us out of the depths of hell that exceeds and precedes even the love that we have for those that are around us. Why? Because God showed pity unto us. And my friend, if He did it once, He'll do it again. Amen. Hey, if He saved you from the depths of hell, He will deliver you into the kingdom of glory and He'll see you all the way into the other side. My friend, we need to have a desire and anticipation of His security. And the Bible says here in verse number 133, He says, order my steps in Thy Word. Hey, God, I'm asking You to give me direction. To order means to arrange. It means to direct toward. It means to prepare. Amen. Hey, we need to be calling upon God and saying, God, order my steps, order my feet, order my everywhere I go, every place I trot. God, I pray that You prepare me for what lies ahead in this day. Believing and trusting that He's going to. Amen. Hey, there's so many people that are fearful of living. There's so many people that are fearful of going through a circumstance or going through a time of trial and a time of testing. Hey, I'll tell you what, God not only called us to walk by faith, amen, but God has called us also to wait by faith. Hey, there's days and times when we say, well, I've got faith, I'm trusting in God, I'm walking by faith, but all of a sudden there's a dilemma comes up in your life and you expect God to answer it yesterday and He hasn't already answered it yet. And my friend, you're in that trial, you're in that time, and you're in that valley, you're in that testing, and you're saying, God, I'm waiting on You to do something great here. I'm waiting and believing. But sometimes we get short on God. Sometimes we get antsy on God. I'll tell you what, God will bless you if you won't only walk by faith, but if you'll wait by faith as well, He'll help you. Hey, that's all about the anticipation of security. Hey, knowing and believing and trusting that we're in the palm of His precious hand, His nail-scarred hand, and that, my friend, God is never going to lose us, He's never going to drop us, He's never going to forsake those that have the trusted trait of believing in Him. Hey, the Bible says right here, He says, order my steps in Thy Word. In Thy Word. God, help me to make right decisions. Order my steps. Provide for me. Make me ready for whatever tomorrow might hold. Whatever occurrence that might take place in my life. And then He says there in verse 133, and let not any iniquity have dominion
over me. My friend, we've got to trust in God that He'll keep us clean. Amen. Hey, it's a general will of God that we be a separated people. It's the general will of God, hey, that we not be tainted with the sickness and the wickedness of sin that's in this old world. And my friend, we've got to plead unto God and say, God, I'm looking for You to help me to do this very thing. The psalmist said, let not any iniquity have dominion over me. That iniquity speaks of trouble. It speaks of wickedness. It speaks of sorrow. Hey, it speaks of idolatry. Let me ask you, my friend, what have you placed before God last week? What have you put before Him in the last few days? What have you allowed to take precedence in your life? My friend, is it a friend? Is it somebody that you associate yourself with? Is it a job? Is it a hobby? Is there something that has come between you and the Most High God? My friend, that's iniquity. And we need not allow anything to take precedence of God in our life. Hey, the Bible says there, He says, and let not any iniquity, anything that's going to cause trouble or wickedness or sorrow or idolatry, He says, have dominion over me. Dominion means to get mastery of. It speaks of giving power to. Let me ask you, who's got control of your life today? Who's helping you make decisions along the way? My friend, we need not be caught up in the rudiments and the things of this old world. But my friend, we need to place our faith solely, trustingly upon the finished work of Christ and all the commandments and things that we have found here in the Word of God that we hold in our hand. My friend, there's the anticipation of security. And then He says here in verse 134, He says, deliver me from the oppression of man. I'll tell you what, the oppression of man is something that overwhelms so many people that have made a profession of Christ. The oppression of man, that word oppression means it speaks of extortion or of injury. Hey, there's many people that are waiting to extort you. There are many people that are waiting to do harm unto you. There are many people that are wanting, that are working for the devil, and the devil doesn't want to do nothing but to steal and to kill and destroy. My friend, we need to have our eyes upon Jesus, asking Him, God, help me, deliver me from the oppression of man. That deliverance means a rescue, but it also means to ransom. It means to redeem. My friend, if you're here today and you've never been saved, if you've never been born again, if you've never trusted in Jesus, today's the day that God will deliver you from the greatest oppression. And that is the lie of the devil himself that says, hey, you're going to make it on your good works. You're going to make it on your good deeds. Hey, you're going to get into heaven because you're a Baptist. You're going to get into heaven because you're a Methodist. You're going to get into heaven because you have your name written down on a little plaque at your grandmother's church that says that you gave so much money unto this place. Hey, you're not going to get into heaven because of those things. You're only going to get into heaven because you've asked Jesus into your heart and into your life and trusted in the finished work that He died for you, was buried, and rose again. My friend, He wants to deliver somebody maybe here today. But my friend, we need to acknowledge the anticipation of security. Bible says there, and so will I keep thy precepts. Hey, my friend, God wants us to keep the statutes of God. He wants us to guard them, to watch them, to give heed to them. He wants us to protect them and preserve them. My friend, we need to have a special place in our heart and our life for this book. My friend, we see here some trusted traits are the adoration of Scripture, the anticipation of security, but there also should be the attitude of servitude. My friend, neither one of us are any better than the other. And I can hear a big amen right there. Amen? Hey, there's no big I's and little U's in the kingdom of God. Hey, we've all got a task. We've all got a job. We've all got a service that we've got to uphold. Some have been called to preach. Some have been called to teach. Some have been called to evangelize. Some have been called to go out into the mission field. Some have been called to stay right there in their local assembly and dig deep and work hard and serve the brethren and minister under the grounds. Hey, and take part however it might be through singing or gifts of mercy or gifts of love or giving unto God. My friend, each and every one of us has a job that we can do. And my friend, we see that we all need to have that attitude of servitude. Look what the Bible says in verse 135. He says, make thy face to shine upon thy servant and teach me thy statutes. He's praying, God, I want your precepts. God, I want everything that's been prescribed unto me and everything that's due unto you. I want you to teach that to me. I want to be your humble servant today. And he says, make thy face to shine upon my servant. The face speaks of God's presence, God's person. And he's asking God to shine. He's saying, God, I want you to illuminate me. God, I want you to shine upon me. God, I want you to do a great work here in this place. Light me up, Lord, so that a lost and dying world might be able to see that you can make a difference in the life of an individual. And he's saying, God, I just pray that you'd let thy face shine upon me, thy servant. I want to remind you today that we're all servants in the family of God. Hey, we've all been bought by a price. We've all been ransomed. We've all been redeemed that have trusted in Jesus. Hey, we ain't going to have to stand and account for our sin and our wickedness, but because we placed our faith in the finished work of Christ, hey, we've got mercy as our plea. Hey, we've got grace as our plea. And my friend, Jesus will stand up for us on that day of judgment and say, He's one of ours. She's one of ours. They've been bought with a price. And my friend, because we've been bought with a price, we are servants unto the Most High God. We are to worship Him and Him alone. And we are to minister for Him and Him alone. And that we might bring glory and honor and praise unto His precious name. My friend, the Bible says here in verse 136. Now, we find here that He began with anticipation of all that God was going to do. But my friend, the true attitude of servitude is not having the great faith and the hope that we ought to have in God. It's not just those things that are the positive. But my friend, there's also some things that ought to be present in our life, and that is anguish over those that do not know Christ. Hey, they ought to be a burden in our heart for those that are lost and separated from a holy God. Hey, we ought to have a love for sinners, just like Jesus had a love for sinners. Look what the psalmist says. He says, rivers of waters run down mine eyes. He says, channels of waters, canals of waters are running down mine eyes. Hey, they're descending, they're declining upon my face. My friend, that speaks of somebody that's got a broken heart for those that do not know Jesus. Now, I believe we've gotten so satisfied, and I'm talking about myself, hey, we get so satisfied, we get so caught up in our daily life, in our own routine, in our own things that we've got going on, that we sometimes don't witness like we ought to. We don't pray for sinners like we ought to. We don't go and share the good news like we ought to. My friend, we ought to be broken over a lost and dying world. We ought to be broken over the condition of our country, the condition of our society, the condition of our government. We ought to be broken over the things. My friend, that's a true attitude of servitude unto a holy God. He says there, rivers of water run down mine eyes. Jeremiah wept. Jesus wept. Paul wept. My friend, over those that did not believe and trust in a holy God. And my friend, we ought to do the same. He says, because they keep not thy law. There's many that are not keeping God's law. Many that are not keeping God's commandments. And we ought to be broken over them. My friend, we ought to have that attitude of servitude. Over in the book of Numbers, chapter number 7, I believe it is, chapter number 6, verse number 22. This Aaronic blessing, look what the Bible says. Listen, he said, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, on this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. My friend, we can find God's blessings upon our life if we will desire to have the traits that we've truly trusted in Jesus. Do others around you, is the evidence so strong in your life that others around you see Jesus in you? Do those on the workplace see Jesus in you? Do those in whom you go to school with see Jesus in you? Does your mate, does your spouse, does your friends see Jesus in you? Do you have the traits today? Every head bowed and every eye closed.